I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I'm your host, Mike Madison, for 2 hours a day. Today is Friday. Do what we do every Friday. Next hour, start off with False Flag Friday. We'll look at the mess that is American foreign policy, and then finish up with This Week on the Crazy Train. I'm going to have to be rather succinct with my comments on that one. I've got so many clips. They're coming at us from all angles. I may actually have to pull some of these out. I ran across a trove of TikTok audio from some of the teachers out there, your elementary school teachers. Holy cow. I may pull them out of that and make it a standing segment next week. Some terrifying things being taught in our elementary schools these days. But anyway, we'll get to all of it during the course of the day today. I'll start as I normally do. Some quotes of the day. The Libertarian Party tweeted this out. They said, "We oppose all forms of race essentialism and base our conception of liberty on individual rights rather than by group or class entitlements. Woke collectivism is anti-liberty and anti-American." That was from the Libertarian Party. The GOP, in response, but juxtaposing the two, the GOP puts this out. 60% of workers are worried about their paychecks being able to support their families. Hashtag, anyone? Anyone? Bidenflation. It is a very, very clever marketing trick that completely misses exactly what causes inflation, as I keep railing against on the show here. I've got a clip. There's a guy, Adam Taggart. He does a financial show. And I watch a lot of these YouTubes. He does a lot of interviews on the economy and stuff like that. He's got an interview with a guy named John Rubino that is really a fantastic, it's an hour-long interview. But John Rubino does a great job of really, in very plain English, explaining what is going on and what is going to happen. I'll give you the title of this interview is Endgame for Fiat Currencies Nears as Debt and Inflation Become Unsustainable. I would recommend the entire thing if you're actually interested in hearing somebody explain to you exactly what's going on and what will be happening within the next couple of years. It's going to be quite chaotic. Timing of these things is never certain, but it appears that this may be the end game. And I'm going to give you just kind of his synopsis, how they open up the video with just a very brief explanation of exactly what's going on, as opposed to the GOP and conservative talk show host using the term Bidenflation because they want to use the misery of the American people as a political tool, making you think you can vote your way out of this. You cannot. This is John Rubino.
Well, this is the box. We've borrowed so much money that we have to keep interest rates low to make that debt manageable. But by keeping interest rates extremely low, we in effect have to create a lot of new currency to make that possible. In other words, to buy the bonds that we're trying to force down in price whose yields we're trying to force down. And that leads to inflation, which forces interest rates up because nobody wants to lend money if they're going to be paid back in a depreciating currency. So the interest rates people demand for loans go up in an inflationary environment, and that makes it impossible to manage that debt load. And that's kind of where we are right now. We have to raise interest rates because inflation is becoming problem number one. But by doing that, we're raising our debt costs to the point at which the system doesn't work anymore. You know, we'll go bankrupt trying to pay off the debts that we have at higher interest rates. And there doesn't seem to be a solution for that.
Yeah. That's the problem. His last line is, there doesn't seem to be a solution to that. It's going to be pain. The end result, there is no painless solution. If the Democrats or Republicans, if any politician tells you they're going to get this thing back on track for you and you're going to maintain the American dream without any pain, they can rescue us all. Some posing as a savior. Let me tell you, there's going to be pain. There's a story out yesterday. Shares of AT&T fell on Thursday after CEO John Stankey. That must have been a rough name. He succeeded in spite of that name. Every time I see a name like that, I picture them in elementary school. That could not have been easy. Shares of AT&T fell on Thursday after CEO John Stankey said customers are starting to put off paying their phone bills, which resulted in a wireless carrier cutting this year's forecast for free cash flow by $2 billion. That's according to Bloomberg. So to recap, remember, you've heard it from the top, from the White House, from CNBC, from CNN, from all the talking heads out there. We are not in a recession. I repeat, we are not in a recession. There's a small chance, 34 economists I reported on last week said there's a small chance, about 47.5% chance, that maybe by the end of 2023, we're going to possibly have a small, minor recession. Yet today, you actually have the head of AT&T. I would imagine they may be the largest cell carrier, cell service provider out there, saying that people cannot afford to pay their cell bills. And let me tell you, I would imagine most people, this is their most important bill. We have been addicted. This is phones at this point are most people's most prized possessions. Nothing makes your heart race more than not knowing where your phone is or being on 2% charge. So we've got a government. We've got statistics. We've got talking heads on the major networks on CNBC telling you that's just a small, maybe a slight recession next year. But don't worry. It's going to be fine. Inflation is transitory. And you've got people that cannot afford their cell bills right now. You know, for several years now, probably the better part of a decade that I can remember going back and seeing these stories reported that, I can't remember what the exact statistic is, 60, 70% of Americans cannot afford a $400 emergency. This is the $400. There's usually these stories kind of go back and forth. They can't afford a $400 emergency, or, you know, 70% of people don't have $1,000 set aside in savings, these kinds of things. If 60% of Americans cannot afford a $400 emergency, what do you think month after month of inflation is? It is much, much more than $400 unexpected expense as a one-time event. If you don't have $400 stuck aside for that car repair or some medical something that you need, if you don't have $400 set aside, I can't imagine that you are weathering a storm of price increases of 20% on basically everything you buy. There was a pretty amazing statistic, too, on the housing market I ran across. 2 years ago, the 30-year mortgage rate was 2.9%, and the median existing home price in the U.S. was $294,000. So 2 years ago, 30-year mortgage was 2.9%. Median house price was $294,000. That's still a lot of money. So it's amazing to me. I think my parents bought their first house for $35,000. $35,000 probably back in the early 1970s. $35,000. Now it's $294,000. Today, 2 years later, today the 30-year mortgage rate is 5.71%, and the median existing home price is $416,000. So you've gone from a $294,000 house that you can get a 2.9% mortgage on to a $416,000 house, and you've got to pay 5.71% on a 30-year mortgage. With a 20% down payment, that's a 98% increase in the monthly payment from $978 to $1,933. This really is just absolutely an amazing turn of events, but don't worry. Don't worry. Nothing's going to happen to the housing market. We won't have another housing crash. It reminded me of when I started looking at these things. at these different stories at the same time. I'm sure you remember this commercial. This was a true, a great commercial. It's just funny who put this commercial out, if you remember this one.
I'm Stanley Johnson. I've got a great family. I've got a four-bedroom house and a great community. Like my car? It's new. I even belong to the local golf club. How do I do it? I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. I can barely pay my finance charges. Somebody help me.
Come to lending.
It's a lending tree commercial. It's that always struck me as very funny when you have a, it was a very, very great ad that went out. How do I do it? I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. Well, you know, that works for only so long, whether it's a government, whether it's a company, one of these zombie companies, or whether it is the American individual. Debt only lasts when you've got teeny tiny interest rates. When you see a budge up in those things, we've got big problems. Yeah, we are have created a debt-based society that the Republicans are trying to convince you is just Bidenflation. This is not going to end well. There is, for homeowners out there, though, there is a an angel investor out there waiting for the right opportunity in the housing market. I couldn't resist getting to the story. We'll do it when I come back. Stick around.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I?
The vultures are circling. They can smell death in the U.S. economy. I know it sounds doom and gloom. There was an article. I didn't get a chance to look at it last night. I'll try to go through it. Hopefully it's got it was basically something like how to acquire wealth in an inflationary environment. As I say, the key to surviving these things, to actually doing well, is to make the right moves. But you have to understand what's going on. Sean called during the break, and he's having the same problem that I have, you know, trying to convince a conservative exactly what's going on, because they just want to blame Joe Biden. That's so simple. It makes them sleep good at night. Oh, just till November. Whoo, I can't wait till November when we flip the House and the Senate. That'll make it all better. And they're just refusing to understand that we are having a monetary crisis. We certainly have. We've got political crises all over the place. We've got a kleptocracy. Oh my gosh, I fumbled the word that that Joe Biden fumbles. That made me feel bad. But you know, we've got massive corruption in this country. We'd certainly have that. But this is not you know what Sean was mentioning. I should have kept him online. I've just got so much. I need to be a little more pithy today to try to get through all my clips. But Sean was mentioning so many conservatives talk about the fact that, you know, what we're seeing is it's just oil. It's just because Joe Biden stopped all this drilling and now oil, and oil transports everything. Well, why are rents going up? Why is insurance going up? These are not all oil-based things. I understand. Transportation cost. Everything does go up when oil goes. But a lot of times currencies collapse with low oil prices, and oil's down to $95 a barrel now. It's come down probably about 30% from its peak. Are you seeing inflation is still ticking up? Isn't that weird? Huh. I'm telling you, if you understand it, you've got a chance. If you want to hide behind a political party and just point the fingers at the other guys, you don't have a chance. This thing's going to smack you in the head. There's a story out there. I should have pulled up the quote, but I think I've said it so many times I should remember. Who was it that said it? I definitely should have gotten the quote. It was essentially this quote. If you let bankers control your country, you will wake up homeless in the land that your forefathers conquered. Well, get ready. They're talking about the housing market. It's completely unsustainable the way it is right now. And see, here's the thing. You know, I'm always kind of looking for the trick they'll do to the next Band-Aid they put over the gaping wound that they've created financially in this country with all of this debt. And I would imagine if we start to see a softness in the housing market, I can imagine particularly a Democrat-led government, but don't put this past Republicans either. They bailed the banks out. Republicans did. that they would offer some kind of mortgage assistance if we started to see another housing crisis. Never underestimate the next bad decision. The problem is with inflation raging, if they were to do any kind of bailout of homeowners, what Gavin Newsom's planning on doing and sending out some kind of inflation stimmy checks out in California, it's going to make inflation worse. That inflation at the consumer price level is the game changer here. I've been seeing this kind of a debt crisis coming for so long. My friends are sick of hearing me talk about it. If you had asked my advice 7 or 8 years ago, I would have said, stay out of that stock market. We got a debt crisis coming. And you would have been furious with me because you would have missed huge gains. But the inflation is the game changer. I now know it had to get to the consumer. Y'all had to start whining about the inflation. The pains had to be spread out before we, you know, what people like myself or their Austrian economists were saying was, we can't sustain ourselves in this level of debt. It's going to create inflation. To which the vast majority of Americans went, hell, I just got a mortgage for 3%. This is the greatest economy that's ever existed. And people who understand monetary policy said, no, you can't print this much money and not have inflation. No one wanted to hear that up front. Now they see it and they whine about it and they still can't figure it out. This is the really sad part about it. But now that the inflation is here, they can't stimulate the housing market. It will create anyone, more inflation. This is the box, as John Rubino said a second ago in that clip I played. We're in a box now. There's no solution to this but pain. It doesn't mean it's the end of the United States, but we're going to go through some tough times, and we deserve it. Our children don't deserve it. They didn't create these policies. The boomers in my generation really are the ones most responsible for what's going on. There's a story, a guy named Jesse Felder with the Felder Report. One of the most astounding phenomena in the markets over the past couple of years is retail investors' enthusiastic embrace of leveraged speculation. And this is a story about the fact that retail investors now are having no problems running up margin debt to buy things, you know, whether it's GameStop stocks or Bitcoins. And this is new, that these levels of margin debt for retail investors is fairly new, but I believe it's desperation. It's people trying to keep pace with things. They're willing to borrow money because they think they might hit a home run in the markets or in Bitcoin or in housing. They're willing to go into debt because they're just trying to seek that. They're trying to multiply what they could possibly win in the end. That itself, the fact that we have so much investment debt at the consumer level, will not end well either. But here is the story that I thought was just when I say if you allow banking establishments to control your country, you will wake up homeless in the nation that your forefathers founded. Blackstone prepares a record $50 billion to snap up real estate during the coming crash. That's right. Blackstone, I believe they are the largest landlord in the country. They're not done yet. They know what's coming. The story says only a handful of the 1% can afford the American dream. Alas, it means that just like in 2007, a housing crash is just a matter of time. That much is known. What is also known is that once housing craters, the largest U.S. residential and commercial landlord, private equity giant Blackstone, is about to get even bigger. That's when it will deploy some or all of the record $50 billion in dry powder it has raised to prepare for the coming housing crash. You just go outside and look at them. They're hovering. They can smell. You know, buzzards and vultures, they understand when an animal is sick. They see that animal heading out into the woods or out into the desert. Doesn't feel well. It's separating itself from the pack to go away and die in solidarity. By itself. What's the word I'm searching for there? And the buzzards start circling before this thing is even dead. They're like, oh, any minute now, we're just going to float around. This one's just about done. This is Blackstone. They are just hovering over the U.S. housing market going, oh, yeah, we're going to be ready for this one. I'm sure they learned a lot of lessons back in 2007. And I read you the headline the other day that the Wall Street Journal is now advising its readers that now may be the time for you to consider that adjustable rate mortgage. And so people are going to go out there and make the exact same mistakes they made in 2008, and the results will be anyone, just exactly the same, but probably worse. I know, it's gloom and doom. I'm just telling you, if you understand these things, look, you know, you can shore yourself up, you can inflation hedge your portfolio, your investments, you can make right decisions. But if you're going out and getting adjustable rate mortgages, thinking that's how you're going to stay in the American dream for very long at all, you've got a probably pretty rude awakening coming. We will see. I'm sure I've been saying these things for the 5.5 years I've been on radio. My prognostications many times. I've got a friend. We constantly have looked at the markets and said, this is when it turns. This is going to be it. I think we're on number 7 now. This is our 7th call of the doom of the stock market and the U.S. economy. We've been wrong the past 6 times. We'll see if 7th is the charm. When I come back, there's just one interesting story about some social media stuff I wanted to get to, and then I've got some COVID figures. I've been reporting. What have we reported on? We've done Australia, England, and Germany this week, I believe, are starting, or maybe it was, who is today? Maybe the Dutch. Yeah, the Dutch Ministry of Health. Ministries of Health around the world are starting to release actual figures. For some reason, here in the United States, Thomas Dobbs will not be honest with us. Anthony Fauci won't be honest with us. The CDC, the FDA, the White House, nobody will be honest with us here. But around the world, they're starting to release some real numbers, and it's not looking good. We'll talk about those when we come back. Stick around.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. There was an interesting story out. I'm not a social media guy, as anybody who listens regularly knows. I find a lot of it just really, I don't know. I think it's done a great deal of damage to people's psyche in this country. It is a battleground for people to express outrage at strangers. It's just, there's a lot of things really abhorrent about social media. There's some redeeming things, but like the internet or anything else, we don't use things to their greatest benefit. We find a way to screw it up. But there's a story I ran across in Zero Hedge. Nearly 60% of Americans want TikTok removed from app stores. Almost 60% of Americans believe that the Chinese-owned short video app TikTok should be removed from app stores after revelations that American user data has been repeatedly accessed in China, according to a new poll. Apparently, this is a survey conducted by the Convention of States Action and Trafalgar Group. 58.6% of respondents said they supported, quote, efforts to remove TikTok from app stores now that the company has revealed American user data can be accessed by TikTok employees in China. Apparently, there were some leaked recordings of company meetings obtained by BuzzFeed. And I wanted to read how this broke down along partisan lines. The July survey showed that independents were 56.9% in favor of removing TikTok, and Republicans at 76.8% were the most likely to support measures to remove TikTok, and 39.2% of Democrats agreed with the proposal. Now, I imagine this is somehow involves the U.S. government coming in and outlawing TikTok. I think there's something ominous about the fact we've got Generation Z, which from my public school education is the last letter in the alphabet, feels ominous to me. And then you add something called TikTok. I mean, it just kind of feels like we're at some level of an end game here. But I can't stand TikTok. I don't understand the allure to it. I've got a couple of friends who will send me TikTok videos. I do not have the app, so I don't know. Maybe I'm not getting the full experience, but it pops up some videos. Sometimes it doesn't seem to play. If I push play and then it's 15 seconds and then all of a sudden there's some other video in front of my face that's something else. If we're struggling with ADHD here in this country, TikTok is not the solution, I can guarantee you of that. We have a short enough attention span. We are like goldfish as it is. TikTok, with its, are these just all 60-second videos? Is that what the whole platform is based on? We can only focus in on something for 60 seconds at this point? I'm not a big fan of TikTok. But for you 76% of Republicans, what was it, 76%? What was it? 76.8% of you Republicans that are opposed, you want to get TikTok removed because you believe the Chinese might get a hold of your data. I got to tell you, I am much, much, much more concerned with the U.S. government getting hold of all of my data. I don't know what the Chinese would do with any data that they got from my TikTok account. Should I have one? I do not have one. And I don't really want the Chinese government spying on me either. But in the list of people that I'm concerned about spying on me, my own government is much more concerning. The Chinese will have a very difficult time coming and rousting me from my home for something that I may say in the future because it falls in some domestic terror classification or something else. But it's just interesting to me that Republicans are ready for 76.8% of you are ready for the government to take some action and take TikTok off the market. But you have absolutely no problems, have demanded nothing from your legislators to free Edward Snowden. Nobody's mad at Donald Trump because he left Snowden exiled in Russia, where he is more free than he would be in the United States, because Edward Snowden let us know that our own government is collecting massive amounts of data on every American. There's been no rollback of this. There is no outcry from Americans, even you conservatives out there who are the rugged individualists who apparently you don't want the Chinese government spying on you, but you're absolutely fine with your own government collecting all of your data. The federal government gets notice if you do anything wonky in your checking account. If you go out and you buy a car or you sell a car and put $6,400 into your account that you don't normally put in there, it generates a SAR, a suspicious activity report, that goes straight to the IRS. Hey, let's keep an eye on this guy. No outrage about that. But you can get mobilized against a TikTok app, which you probably shouldn't be using in the first place. I think it's an abhorrent app. I think it's... I know kids are scrolling through this stuff. I cannot imagine the short-circuiting that is going on in our youth's brains right now to see this barrage, this endless stream of completely unrelated 30 to 60-second clips. And I'm probably ticking some people off. I know some people use TikTok and probably think it's a great way to reach people and all that stuff. Yeah, as I say, there's some benefits to all of these things, I guess, theoretically. I'm just not a fan. I don't get it. That just may be age. I may just have to admit I have reached old fart age of some degree. But I got to tell you, if you are worried about a government spying and collecting your data, you might want to focus in just a teeny tiny bit and understand that it is your own government. That is where the fear should be. Edward Snowden pointed this out to people, to a collective yawn. Nobody even seems to care about that, but... Your problems are not the Chinese as much as they want to wind you up about it. I'll be right back.
It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
This next story should be saved for this week on the crazy train, but you know, I'm not a big comet guy. You know, we'll just go ahead and end it all by letting a giant asteroid or something hit the Earth. But I might get on board with it if this prognostication comes true. Dick Morris is back. I don't know if you remember Dick Morris from the Clinton years, and then I think he became a Republican strategist. I don't know. He's kind of apolitical. He's just one of these wonk guys. But he's back. A former top advisor to Bill Clinton claims that Joe Biden will be forced to step aside and be replaced by anyone? Hillary, who is preparing to run again for president in 2024. As I say, I'm not a big media. I've got children. I'm very curious to see how my kids are, you know, how their lives unfold. I'm just fascinated. It's almost like watching a great movie. Want to see my children. I'm fond of other people's kids. I want to see what goes on. I'm not a end of the whole planet person. Unless we have a Trump versus Hillary 2024, and I may rethink that. If we get set up for a Trump-Hillary 2024 contest, I think I'm out. I cannot imagine a worse fate for the United States. We'll turn our daily 2 minutes of hate into at least 2 years of just constant hate as they campaign against each other. I got to tell you, there's just, I cannot imagine as bad as we are. Now, I'm for national divorce. We can all separate to our preferred corners of the country. I'm kind of down with that. But the ideas of a Hillary-Trump extended campaign season and then election is just, I can't, it wouldn't even be interesting to me. It would just be disgusting. God help us all if this comes to pass. A lot of people upset with my failure to get on board with the return of the Messiah, Donald Trump. But there is no way in the world I support Mr. Operation Warp Speed. Now, I know I'm supposed to ignore this and just pretend like he didn't really play any kind of a pivotal role in this and is not crisscrossing the country encouraging his supporters to not only go out and take these shots, but also take credit for them. He said, you're falling for what they're selling, something along those lines. You're falling for their talking points if you don't proudly proclaim how great Operation Warp Speed. He says it's one of the greatest things that has ever happened to mankind, and he was the head of it. I'm supposed to ignore Mr. Operation Warp Speed, even though I believe it to be one of the greatest crimes against humanity. No, not one of. The greatest crime against humanity that the U.S. has ever suffered. But I'm supposed to ignore that and herald the return of Donald Trump. And here's one of the reasons I do not forgive that sin. On July 5th, the RIVM, this is a research institute that's part of the Dutch Ministry of Health, reported a basic two-dose COVID vaccination offered no protection against COVID hospitalization. Worse, vaccinated people were 20% more likely to need intensive care than the unvaccinated. The report is based on hospitalizations across the Netherlands from March 15th through June 28th, not a small sample. And like the United States, the Dutch relied overwhelmingly on mRNA vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna. Operation Warp Speed! The supposed gold standard for COVID shots. So I do take that back a little bit. It's not just the greatest crime against humanity the U.S. has ever suffered. It may be the greatest crime against humanity that the world has ever suffered. But the details, this is from Alex Berenson, he says, but the details in the report are even more disturbing. The researchers stratified the risk of hospitalization and intensive care by time from vaccination and the age of the infected person, and those show that the risk increase over time. After 7 months, vaccinated people in their 50s and 60s had a 68% higher risk of being hospitalized for COVID compared to the unvaccinated. They had a 41% higher risk of needing intensive care. The trends were similar for people 70 and over, though most of them had been boosted or received a fourth shot, so comparisons were harder to make. It will take a while. These fourth shots are not that long in the tooth, so it's going to take a while for them to compare those two. Understand again what I'm saying to you. These are these reports coming out of other countries because our government is so captured, our CDC, our FDA is so captured by the pharmaceutical companies, our media here is so captured by pharmaceutical companies because we are one of only two countries on the planet that allow pharmaceutical advertising on mainstream news, mainstream networks. So all of that big pharma cash has bought our media off. But around the world, they are doing legit studies on these things, and this is what they're finding. Let me read this one thing again. After 7 months, vaccinated people in their 50s and 60s had a 68% higher risk of being hospitalized for COVID compared to the unvaccinated. They had a 41% higher risk of needing intensive care. Now, this is what is so amazing to me in the political landscape now. I know so many people, and mostly they're on the right, but not all. Talk about the Jimmy Dore show. A lot of progressives out there. Naomi Wolf, who appears on The War Room with Steve Bannon, pointing these kinds of things out. You've got Robert F. Kennedy Jr., obviously a Democrat. Lifelong Democrat, big name, the Kennedy family in the Democrats, they are pointing these things out. But a lot of people on the right, kind of out in the trenches, the people on the right seem to be much more awake to the corruption that is this big shot and genetic testing on everybody, or testing of a product on people. Yet at the same time, we're supposed to just pretend. We're supposed to pretend Trump had nothing to do with this. And I guess really the the question is, was he in on this or was he just duped? And either way, in my mind, that's kind of disqualifying for holding the highest seat in the land again. A lot of people on the right are sharing these things with me, these athlete deaths, the increased all-cause mortality statistics. Almost everybody who sends me those things are Trump supporters. It's not good form for me to pick on Trump on this show. I understand it. There's a lot to talk about. It's just I can't help it when these stories smash me right in front of the face, and this is one of those. Is anybody else seeing this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. The one man who was going out and taking the most credit for Operation Warp Speed and these shots is the guy that we pretend had nothing to do with it. He was duped. He was tricked. Well, he's had about a year and a half now to figure out these things are no good, but he hasn't. But I'm supposed to think when he comes back, he'll be different. He's learned a lot. There is some good news, though, when it comes to these kinds of things. As of today, this is was a tweet was put out by Sarah Beth Berwick. No idea who that is, but it's an encouraging statistic. She says, as of today, about 98% of parents in the United States with children under the age of 5 have decided to ignore the CDC and the government's recommendation to inject their babies and toddlers with the COVID vaccine. In case anyone is wondering how trust in our public health institutions is going, that is some fantastic news. 98% of parents in the U.S. with children under the age of 5 are saying no thanks. Now, I read a story. I think one of the hosts here, I think it might have been Clay, shared a story that was written in, I don't know, what is it, Mississippi Today or something like that, highlighting one of our own toddlers. I believe it was a 4-year-old here in Mississippi who has volunteered to be part of this trial for the kids under 5. And what was most disgusting about it to me was, I mean, look, we have to all understand, I admit to have been duped about things during the course of my life. I believe a lot of conservatives are still duped about a bunch of things. This is really the whole point of this show, is to try to point out some of the kind of gaping holes in the logic of conservatives and Republicans in many areas. So I've been duped. You've been duped. Some have woken up, some have not. Parents have been duped. But what was really disgusting in this story, and I should have pulled it up so I could quote it exactly, but it was the parent who was talking about this and saying, we deferred to our pediatrician. And the pediatrician they were referring to, I believe, I really should get this exactly right, but I'm about 99% sure, so I'll go ahead and say it. I believe this pediatrician was something like they were high up in the Mississippi Organization of Pediatricians, whatever that organization is called. And they just said, well, if she says it's okay, then we say it's okay as well. And they have experimented on their 4-year-old child with this experimental shot. It was truly a sad thing. I hope everything's fine. I'm open to the idea that, you know, most people will not have some bad consequences from this thing, but, oh, it's tragic. And when I see that the medical establishment, that someone's pediatrician said, oh, yeah, they know nothing about VAERS, how this thing is worked out for teens and young adults and old adults. They can't read these Dutch reports. They think it's okay to inject this into a 4-year-old is really, really sick stuff to me. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, sir. How you doing today, Mike?
Good. What's going on?
I was waiting, Colin. I just wanted to, I have to agree with you on that. I mean, I think a lot of what people miss is the, you know, they're not looking deep enough into of what's coming out of the bodies after they've passed from COVID.
Yeah, you're talking about the clots and stuff like that?
Yeah, the clots and stuff.
Yeah, but there's some. Yeah, there's some respectable people talking about that out there. It's, you know, when I first saw it, I thought, well, if a body sits and they've died and the blood stops circulating, isn't it normal to have clots anyway? So I've always kind of, I've never really understood, you know, the difference between the old, you know, what would be normal clotting.
I'm going to send you a link to that because it's not clot. It's not from blood.
Yeah.
It's from protein.
Oh, geez.
But anyway, I wanted to mention, I think a lot of the people, I was a Trump supporter. I still am compared to Hillary, and I think that's a lot of people's point going to be is, you know, it would be better than Biden or Hillary or any other Democrat that we can think of. But
can you set any two lower bars than that?
You know, well, I do have to say that I think that we are going to see a DeSantis-Trump ticket in 2024.
I almost am to the point where I think the federal government is so lost that I would like to see DeSantis stay in Florida so that some of us might be able to still go over there. You know what I mean? I'm scared Florida could change too if he leaves.
It could, but I believe that maybe he could snatch a few knots in Trump, make him realize, because I think DeSantis understands about the clot shots and stuff. You know, I think he's learned enough that he knows.
Well, I hope so, but for Donald Trump to not have learned his lesson by now, if he was duped, he should have awoken by now. He never should have done it in the first place, and I will never forgive him for this.
He's going to have an awakening day where he comes out and says, I was duped, or they got me on that one.
Don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. Hey, man, I got to go. End of the hour break. Thanks for the call, Wade.
Great show.
All right, thanks, man. Be right back. Yeah. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Uh-huh. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. About to get into False Flag Friday, but I got a message here at the station. I'm gonna address it real quick because I think it's important. I mean, I think it's a very legitimate critique of this show that I am very negative. We're in a bad spot right now, mostly economically, and I think economically is really kind of the root of all of it. It's, you know, when you see riots in the street, these are not productive citizens with fulfilling lives and good jobs. You know, I think we have hollowed out the core of the greatness of America as an economic engine. We've financialized everything and we've shuttled all of the wealth up to the top. And the thing to me, the way that I see it is, I try to be honest, I'm really not a doom and gloomer. I'm a very happy guy. If you hang out with me, I tell you, it's mostly jokes. That's all I really care about doing in my personal life is laughing. But here's the thing. I would imagine a lot of conservative talk show hosts will point out what's wrong on the left. They'll have some fun. Dana Loesch is great. I really like her format. She's pretty light. She's funny. She's entertaining. But the hope with a lot of conservative talk shows hosts where they leave you is just wait till November. Wait till 2024 when we get rid of Biden. Then we're going to fix all this stuff. I think that's false hope. Unless we do something drastically different, unless we understand the real problems and then force the political class to address the real problems. We just don't do that. So I take the criticism of this show being too negative with no real disagreement. It's just I believe that playtime's over. I mean, Rush Limbaugh had, 30 years of talking to people. He did a great job with it, made a whole lot of money. Became very popular. He's clever. He's certainly a very smart guy. And look where we are. I mean, we've got to do something drastically different in this country. And this economic thing is coming to a head. I don't know what a talk radio show sounded like in the summer of 1929. I don't know if there were people out there that people were tuning out of because they were warning about an impending crash. Oh, come on now. I'm just telling you, and I always try to pepper it with some hope. If you understand what's going on, you can make the right moves. You know, it is Sir Lord Templeton, John Templeton. He was not a rich man going into the Great Depression, but when he saw the just chaos in the streets, the carnage out there, I think he bought one share of all of the stocks in the S&P 500 or the Dow. And, you know, at that time, shares were trading for, you know, a few bucks a piece. He ended up becoming, he might have been a billionaire. He ended up being, if you look at Templeton Funds, Sir John Templeton ran that. I mean, there are people who do really, really well in bad downturns. So you can do those things. But as a country, it's just, I see people fighting about the most really meaningless stuff in the grand scheme of things, of what we're going to leave our children, not to denigrate anybody who's out there fighting for control of their schools. That's very important. Not letting our kids be programmed by this stuff, but this two-party hope on both sides, you know, that's where the positivity of a lot of talk shows probably comes from. If we just vote really hard in November of 2022, we're going to fix this all. But the Republicans are not providing you with anything that is a legitimate solution, and I'm just here to tell you that. They're not. They participated in Bidenflation, what they call. They are equally as responsible for the inflation right now as the Democrats and Joe Biden. And they don't address that. So I do here, and I guess that spins out negative. I try to laugh a lot. It is absurd, and we're about to get into this week on the crazy train. So I understand it's insanity here. So anyway, I'll try to work on that because I really think it's important. I mean, I don't think it's compelling to turn into a radio show and get depressed. I'm just trying to tell you what's actually going on. You know, people always say, the media should just tell us the facts. Well, maybe I paint them in a black color. You know, maybe I've got a little bit of the black pill sometimes when I come in here, but I'm just trying to give you the actual facts, not the partisan talking points and the hopium that there's a savior out there coming to save you, because I don't believe they're there. Anyway, we get into False Flag Friday. This is where I take a look at the train wreck that is American foreign policy. And this is another thing. Yeah, I mean, I could gloss over it, but we spent an awful lot of money on it. We just had a Pentagon budget. All-time records was $836 billion, well over $1 trillion for the national security apparatus. You know what that leads to? Anyone? Inflation. So it's important to understand that what they're doing with this money, this empire, you know, if there was a talk show host during the course of the Roman Empire that was warning the people about building an empire, the Roman Empire might have lasted a little bit longer and had a better fate. I'm just saying. The American Empire is following closely in the footsteps of the Roman Empire, and we can pretend to ignore what happened to the Roman Empire, but trust me, Italy is not running the world right now. I'll just put it that way. A couple of quotes of the day for False Flag Friday. Libertarian Party tweeted out, if the gun grabbers truly wanted to go after weapons manufacturers, they would start with Lockheed Martin and Raytheon. Individual citizens are targeted because they are viewed as the bigger threat to the powers that be. Amen. Yeah, if you want to get, you know, and that's the other thing with climate change, too. Kind of cracks me up. You know, if you're really concerned with climate change and the use of, air quotes here in the studio, fossil fuels, if you're really worried about the carbon footprint of industrial action in the Democratic Party, maybe you should take a look at the largest user of oil on the planet, which is the U.S. military, which you just gave $836 billion to. I'm just saying, if you're worried about greenhouse gases, mobilizing ships and tanks around the entire globe, not exactly a winner. Julian Assange, this is really sad. This comes off of a video. This clean-faced, very healthy-looking Julian Assange, back when he was a free man, before the foreign policy psychopaths went after him and are now slow-killing him in a British prison, told us this.
Because the goal is not to completely subjugate Afghanistan. The goal is to use Afghanistan to wash money out of the tax bases of the United States, out of the tax bases of European countries, through Afghanistan, and back into the hands of a transnational security elite. That is the goal, i.e. the goal is to have an endless war, not a successful war.
Amen. He's exactly right. The goal is not to win a war. The goal is the war. And I'll show you they're moving towards that again today. This is what's taking place. Well, I guess I'll play a clip here of what we're doing, and then I'll tell you in Ukraine, when it comes to Ukraine, and how Russia views it and how this is actually what our actions are widening, extending this war.
The U.S. is sending four additional long-range rocket systems to Ukraine. That will mean a total of 16 of the so-called HIMARS systems will soon be in place there, with the ability to strike behind Russian lines. Here's NPR's Tom Bowman.
The HIMARS rocket systems are precision-guided and are able to strike Russian command centers and fuel depots and other Russian assets in the eastern Donbas area, the center of the fighting. The U.S. is providing shells that have a range of nearly 50 miles. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin told reporters more of the long-range systems will be sent, but did not offer any details. Austin was joined by Joint Chiefs Chairman General Mark Milley. He said the fight in Ukraine has become, quote, a grinding war of attrition. Russia has been making incremental increases, but has faced tough resistance. The cost to Russia is very high, Milley said. The gain is very low.
Yeah, I don't know if they didn't describe it, but Mark Milley said this has turned into a grinding war of attrition. I wonder if he kind of had a little smile, a little smirk when he said that, just as we want it. So we are sending more weapons systems over to Ukraine. There's a story out. Let me see who this came from, actually. With the Donbass region now largely under control of Russian forces, 5 months into the invasion, is Moscow setting its sights on the rest of Ukraine? It appears this could be the case, based on a provocative Wednesday remarks by Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, captured in a fresh FT report. Russia's foreign minister said Moscow had expanded its war aims for its invasion of Ukraine, the strongest sign yet that it seeks to annex parts of the country currently under its control. Now, what the story is saying and what you will hear the media report is that, see, we told you, Russia is hell-bent on taking all of Ukraine, and then they're going to march into the rest of Europe. Now, what we don't ever hear is what actually comes out of the mouths of Russian leaders when they go to speak to groups like the UN or the G20. American diplomats, air quotes, diplomats, actually get up and leave the room. Seems like you might want to know what the point of view is of one of the two parties to a potentially widening war, but we don't. We pretend that they don't exist. This is what Lavrov, the defense guy or the Secretary of State, essentially. I think he's Secretary of State equivalent in Russia. Lavrov alluded in his Wednesday comments. He said, quote, "If the West continue to pump Ukraine full of weaponry out of impotent rage or a desire to exacerbate the situation, then that means our geographical task will move even further from the current line." Now, understand from the point of view of the Russians, so the U.S. is sending more long-range weapons to the Ukrainians. Now, if you are Russia and you are seeking to liberate and recognize the independence of areas in Ukraine that have ethnic Russians that have been being murdered, they've murdered 14,000 ethnic Russians that were actually Ukrainian citizens in Ukraine since 2014. They've murdered them. If Russia is seeking to just protect those people, well, then they just really need that little area. If Ukraine can't launch an attack, you know, they need to control a little buffer zone between this area and push the Ukrainian forces away so they can't attack these people in eastern Ukraine. But if the U.S. keeps sending long-range weapons into that area, well, then Russia has to move further into Ukraine to keep those weapons out of those areas of ethnic Russians. Does that make sense to you? This is the widening of the war. This is actually exacerbating the situation. Russia's in control of the areas they want to be in control of right now. The war really could be winding down. I've said since the beginning of this thing, this could have been settled in an afternoon before it even kicked off or at any point since, by just saying Ukraine will not attack, will recognize the independence of these areas that want to be independent of Ukraine. You know, we love democracy and all. These people have voted to be independent of Ukraine. For some reason, our love for democracy ends there when they say something. When the people speak and say something we don't like, we pretend they just didn't say it. We're not big fans of democracy unless the outcome is what we want. But if you understand the fact that our weapons being flooded into Ukraine, our money being flooded into Ukraine, they're talking now about offering fighter jets to the Ukrainians. This is widening the war. Russia has pretty much accomplished everything it set out to accomplish originally, but the more weapons we provide, the more they have to push into Ukraine to keep those weapons away from the areas they've secured by a bigger buffer zone. They want this wider war. Rand Paul, the libertarian senator from Kentucky, he sent out this tweet. This was just interesting. "Shockingly, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee just rejected my attempt to reaffirm the Constitution. All my amendment said was NATO obligations don't supersede the constitutional requirement that Congress declare war. How is this controversial?" And what happened is this was a letter in support from the Foreign Relations Committee supporting Finland and Sweden joining NATO. And Rand Paul said, all right, well, if they're going to join NATO, can we just sign something that says that we don't automatically go to war if Finland or Sweden are attacked? You know, we have this mutual defense pact with NATO, which basically means that any single NATO country comes under attack, we send our sons and daughters, moms and dads, brothers and sisters halfway around the world to fight and die for that little country. Rand Paul said, can we just say, if we add these countries, that with any of these NATO countries, if they're attacked and we decide we are going to come to their defense and enter into a war on their behalf, that Congress just gets together and says, we declare war on this country. Can we just do that? That's what the Constitution calls for. We don't commit our troops without declaring war. Of course, we haven't declared war since World War II. Not for Korea, not for Vietnam, not for Iraq, not for Afghanistan, not for Libya, not for Syria, not for Yugoslavia, not for any of these things. We never declare war. We just use these authorization of military force. Rand Paul just said, can we just say if we are going to commit our kids to another war that we vote on it first? And they shot his amendment down. That's where we are. When I come back, a little bit more from this Lavrov guy, because this is False Flag Friday, and boy, did he give a speech explaining the provocations that are going on. As a matter of fact, he gave a history lesson. He might have taken notes from the Mike Madison show as he talks about the fact that there are provocations going on right now in Ukraine, and this is not new for the West. We'll do that when we come back. All right, just about the only people in the world, I think, collectively, that don't understand the provocation of the West is maybe Westerners. We may not really understand it, although historically, it's not just the United States that provokes wars and then pretends to be the victims. But the U.S. is, we've been the world's superpower for a long time. We've had our way with the planet. We've built an empire on it. It's just interesting. I do this segment, False Flag Friday, because I think it's informative. I've broken down everything from the USS Liberty to the Gulf of Tonkin. Any of these events that take place that are recounted to the American people as attacks on us, unprovoked attacks that turn out to be anything but, oftentimes staged events to create a pretext for another war. It was just interesting, and I do not have time to get into a whole bunch of this, but if anybody's interested in what the Russians see or say, you need to seek out some media outside of the United States and just listen to what these people say. Listen to what Putin says. Putin just went on a big diatribe against the globalist. He said it looks like totalitarianism to him. It's kind of interesting to have a former KGB agent telling the world, you better look out. They're coming after total control. Well, there's a whole lot of Republicans that I know, a whole lot of conservative people out there that see the exact same thing Vladimir Putin sees. But anyway, it's important, I think, and I don't trust everything that comes out of the mouths of Russians. I mean, they're at war, too. There are no saints in Russia. I'm not under any illusions. But I do understand that Russia was provoked into this attack for 30 years. They are being encircled by NATO after a promise that we would do no such thing. And so I understand it. I don't endorse it. I don't like wars of any kind, but I understand. It is this same thing of just constantly provoking. And then when someone makes a very logical reaction to decades of provocation, screaming that look what they're doing. I mean, and ignoring all the provocations is just dishonest. But Lavrov put out a speech. He's the foreign minister. So he is like our Secretary of State. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov's article. The title of it is Staged Incidents as Western Approach to Doing Politics. I'm just going to read a little bit of this, and if anybody wants the link, they can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I don't expect a big uptake of that. It's a little long, but I think it's interesting. This is from Lavrov. He says, today the Russian armed forces, together with the self-defense units of the Donetsk and Lugansk People's Republics, are delivering on the objectives of the special military operation with great resolve to put an end to the outrageous discrimination and genocide of the Russian people and eliminate direct threats to the security of the Russian Federation that the United States and its satellites have been creating on Ukrainian territory for years. He is not wrong about any of that. While losing on the battlefield, the Ukrainian regime and its Western patrons have descended to staging bloody incidents to demonize our country in the eyes of the international community. We have already seen in Bucha, Mariupol, Kramatorsk, and Kremenchug, the Russian Defense Ministry has been regularly issuing warnings with facts in hand about upcoming staged incidents and fakes. There is a distinctive pattern that betrays the provocation staged by the West and its henchmen. In fact, they started long before the Ukrainian events. And he goes through some history. Take 1999, the village of Rakok in Serbia's autonomous province of Kosovo. A group of OSCE inspectors arrived at the site where several dozen corpses dressed in civilian clothes were discovered. Without any investigation, the mission head declared the incident an act of genocide, even though making a conclusion of this kind was not part of its mandate issued to this international official. NATO immediately launched a military aggression against Yugoslavia, during which it intentionally destroyed a television center, bridges, passenger trains, and other civilian targets. Later, it was proved with conclusive evidence that the dead bodies were not civilians, but militants of the Kosovo Liberation Army, an illegal armed group dressed in civilian clothes. But by that time, the staged event had already taken its toll, offering a pretext for the first illegal use of force against an OSCE member state since the signing of the Helsinki Final Act in 1975. This goes into each one of them. In 2003, he talks about Colin Powell going with his little packet of powder for the invasion of Iraq. He said there was also Libya in 2011, February of 2014 in Ukraine. And he talks about the U.S.-led, the Western-led coup over the government in Ukraine and the ensuing genocide on people. And I want you to listen to this one thing, and then I'm going to close this out. After the United States led a coup of the democratically elected Ukrainian government, as corrupt as it was friendly with Russia. There were no problems. They got along. The U.S. went in and installed a neo-Nazi anti-Russian government there, and the ethnic Russians said, hold on a second, we're not recognizing this government. They hate us. We want to be independent. That is when the Ukrainian army, full of neo-Nazis, started attacking Russian ethnics, ethnic Russians that were Ukrainian citizens in Ukraine and murdering them, that the fighting began in eastern Ukraine. To solve this, they signed the Minsk agreements. They got together and said, all right, here's the agreement. Ukraine, you stop attacking ethnic Russians. Russia won't come in and try to protect them. Let's cool this thing off. They signed the Minsk package. This is, I think, fairly important. This is from Lavrov again. He said, if anybody doubted that the Minsk package was anything but yet another fake, Petro Poroshenko dispelled this myth by saying on June 17th, 2022, listen to this. So they signed this agreement to stop attacking ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine. They never lived up to it. They kept attacking them. 14,000 ethnic Russians were killed. But this is Poroshenko. This is what he said. Quote, the Minsk agreements did not mean anything to us, and we had no intention to carry them out. Our goal was to remove the threat we faced and win time in order to restore economic growth and rebuild the armed forces. We achieved this goal. Mission accomplished for the Minsk agreements. So they never intended to actually honor this ceasefire on ethnic Russians in Ukraine. And this is what's led us to this point. It was just interesting to listen to another head of state pointing out the endless false flags of Western powers, not just the United States, but others as well, NATO included in that group. Yet they know what's going on. I think it may be only us and other people in Western countries who always see ourselves as the great saviors and fighters for democracy. We just have no earthly idea what the real world is about. Be right back.
What's your frequency, can it be sharp, been so drained?
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. We have to wrap up another week, so we do it the same way every Friday, and this week on the Crazy Train.
All aboard!
There is no no lack of material for this week's show, for sure, but I love this one. This is just a cautionary tale for anybody who's out there on the Twitters. Make sure you do a thorough spell check before you send out a tweet. There's a prominent medical writer. I think he writes about a lot of things HIV related. His name is Benjamin Ryan. I don't know if you saw this. He sent out a tweet. He's replying to somebody calling them out for misinformation on monkeypox. He says, this is his tweet as it is written. This is misinformation about monkeypox. The outbreak is occurring almost entirely among men who have sex with me. Public health experts agree that sexual contact is the principal driver of transmission and have asserted that the risk to kids remains very low. I think he meant to say entirely among men who have sex with men, but he left the N off, and this certainly made the rounds. Let's see what we've got here. Well, of course, the biggest story of the week was this one.
We have just learned President Biden has been tested positive for COVID-19. Let's get straight to Jeremy Dimon at the White House. Jeremy, how is the president's health overall? Yeah. Obviously, he's fully vaccinated.
Well, it's not good. Oh, you mean the COVID?
It's vaccinated, boosted, but he did just come off this big overseas trip.
Yeah, listen, this is obviously
super spreader.
Very significant news, but also very different from when we had a president of the United States last test positive for COVID. That was when President Trump had it. That was before he had been vaccinated. In this case, President Biden is vaccinated and he is also double boosted, but he is experiencing, we're told, very mild symptoms, according to the White House. And he has begun taking a course of that antiviral Paxlovid treatment. Let me read you part of this statement from the White House that we have just gotten moments ago, saying that consistent with CDC guidelines, he will isolate at the White House and will continue to carry out all of his duties fully during that time. They say that he's been in contact with White House staff by phone this morning, and he'll participate in his planned meetings from the White House via phone and via Zoom from the residence. The White House also says that consistent with protocol, he'll continue to work in isolation until he tests negative. And once he tests negative, he'll return to in-person work.
You know, it's amazing listening to that clip. The amount of propaganda that we have carrying water for the state here in this country. We all know that Joe Biden doesn't have any kind of full rigorous schedule in the first place. We know it's probably littered with naps and him sitting in a chair by himself until they need to drug him up and put him in front of a camera for something. He's not running the country in any way, shape, or form, but they make it sound like, well, he's in isolation, but he's still performing all of his duties. Oh, come on now. So he's got the coup. We're going to see. I believe this is the beginning of them taking out Joe Biden. Could this be the event that takes him out? The most concerning thing is that he's on Pfizer's Paxlovid because he's going to get that rebound infection in about he'll test negative for about 3 days and then bam, that's when the real fun starts. It's not any wonder, though, that Joe Biden got COVID because apparently he has really been trying to spread this disease. Listen to this.
To respond to the pandemic, including donating more than 1 million doses of COVID-19 to the West Bank and Gaza.
As a generous Democrat, he's always giving. Make sure you caught that.
To respond to the pandemic, including donating more than 1 million doses of COVID-19 to the West Bank and Gaza.
I guess that's like the smallpox blankets they gave to the, was it the Cherokees? He's given out 1 million doses of COVID-19. Of course, his only health battle is not COVID. We learned something else shocking this week.
My mother drove us, and rather than us be able to walk. And guess what? The first frost, you knew what was happening.
What?
You had to put on your windshield wipers to get literally the oil slick off the window.
Holy cow.
That's why I and so damn many other people I grew up have cancer. And why I can't for
wait, what?
The longest time. Delaware had the highest cancer rate in the nation.
So White House again scrambles to clarify that he does not currently have cancer, just dementia. They wanted to make sure perfectly clear he only has dementia. I believe they're taking him out. This would be a great way to do it. You could instill a little fear, particularly among the older generations they are trying to eliminate by letting this near octogenarian succumb to COVID. But the media is, they're turning on this guy, and that's what makes this feel like this is the setup to removing him.
Crushing new poll numbers paint a very grim picture for President Biden and the Democrats in 2022 and beyond.
I think what they're suffering from right now is a sense that things are careening out of control writ large.
Already hearing some concerns about his age from some voters and party insiders.
All the talk about Mr. Biden's lack of passion is really code for concern about his age.
There's something about Biden that doesn't connect. He gets up there and he speaks, and you don't lean in.
You don't lean in. Yeah. See, well, you know when the media starts turning on him, the tide is turning. The right almost has exclusive use of comedy now, which has been very inspiring. See, you think I'm a negative person. I'm not. I'm encouraged. The humor on the right these days is off the charts. It's fantastic. I don't know if anybody saw this, but somebody went on Google Earth and marked the area where Joe Biden fell off of his bicycle, and they labeled it Brandon Falls. I mean, that's good stuff. The calls over the intercoms in airports, the memes. The right is on fire. Funny, funny people on the right these days. Now, the terrifying thing is, and what I find so interesting about this, I don't like political theater, but I do like to see how how they try to solve an insolvable problem. Somehow they've got to get rid of Joe Biden and not replace him with Kamala Harris. This is what's going to be very interesting to see. Maybe she gets COVID too. I don't know. This is it's up in the air how they accomplish this, because they are going out of the frying pan and into the fryer if they think they're going to replace Joe Biden with this woman.
That's why we're here today, because we have the ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been, and then to make the possible actually happen. We have to believe in what can be unburdened by what has been.
And we must always see who we can be unburdened by who we have been.
An ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been.
What can be unburdened by what has been.
To see what can be unburdened by what has been.
We see what can be unburdened by what has been.
Bring people to see what can be unburdened by what has been.
Who see what can be unburdened by what has been.
It is the ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been.
She's a deep thinker, isn't she? The line was so nice, she had to say it twice, and then thrice, and then apparently it's all she can say. I'll be right back.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment of the week. I want to remind everybody, send you out with my best piece of advice for the week. Tell me I'm not positive. You want a good experience, a good positive experience with your friends, with your family, or just some good food to bring home, make sure you check out Your Pie up in Gluckstadt. They're at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right up there by Germantown High School. 10 and 14-inch brick oven fire pizzas made the way you want, right in front of you. Also pastas, paninis, salads, gelato, beer, wine, bunch of TVs for any sporting events you might want to catch. This is a veteran-owned, locally-owned business, suffered through COVID, suffered through supply chains, suffered through a broken labor market, and is soldiering on. It's great staff up there. It's a great atmosphere, and I promise you the food is fantastic. Make sure that you check out their app. You download the Your Pie app, and every time you go in, you just scan your receipt. There's a barcode there. You'll earn all kinds of points for freebies. Pizzas, pastas, desserts, and all those kinds of things. You will go back many times, so make sure that you check out Your Pie and Express Your Inner Pizza. You can also get them delivered through TakeABreakDeliveries.com and maybe some other delivery services coming online as well, but just call Your Pie itself. Yeah, best way to order is through the app. You automatically get your points that way. You don't even have to scan your receipts. You get them that way. So anyway, that's Your Pie, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. Express Your Inner Pizza. All right, you know, conspiracy theorists are about what? Since the beginning of COVID, conspiracy theorists are about 10-0. They've got quite the record going on. We were all warned that all of these constraints, all of this hyperventilating was going to be transitioned from COVID straight into climate change, and they were exactly right. And luckily for the climate hysterics, just like the COVID hysterics, the climate hysterics have got a good bunch of hot weather. Somebody juxtaposed. There was a newscast from 2017, and they showed the weather woman in front of the map, and this was a European map and all of the temperatures across it. And then they showed a weather report from a couple of weeks ago, or actually a couple of days ago. And the temperatures in the 2017 report were actually higher than the ones in the 2022 report. But in the 2022 report, the entire map was done in red. Shades of red, waves of red, much more terrifying than the temperatures they reported on 5 years ago. But we have been treated to this. There's hot weather. It's unprecedented.
We begin with the heat emergency affecting hundreds of millions of people, both here at home and abroad. Heat like we've never seen before.
A high temperature of 113 degrees in parts of Texas and Oklahoma. The low temperature overnight in the mid-80s. Some calling it a heat apocalypse.
We don't know. Who are those some? Well, we made it up in the break room earlier here. Call it the heat. Some are calling it the heat apocalypse. There is a good sign, too. You know, I am an anti-war, very vocal anti-war advocate here. at the Mike Madison show. So maybe there's a peace dividend to the heat.
Let's just bring you some breaking news now. Sky News understands the RAF has halted flights in and out of RAF Bryce Norton because the runway has melted in this extreme weather. Now, Bryce Norton is in Oxfordshire. It's the largest RAF base in the country. And another source has been telling Sky News this afternoon that contingency plans have been implemented to ensure that there is no impact on any military operations today.
Oh, their runways have just turned into a big, big bucket of goo in this melting heat. I have pointed out, and will continue to point out, what I believe to be one of the greatest stories that is underreported and not used in the fight against the climate alarmist, which is the rapid temperature fluctuations in Neptune. I think that's so important. Almost everybody I tell that story to, they kind of have a blank look, and I wonder, why do I see, it just feels to me like a big story that planets just heat up and cool down at sometimes at very accelerated paces, because this is the argument of the climate change people right now is, well, yeah, the planet has warmed and cooled, but never this fast. Neptune went up, I believe, 12 degrees over the course of about 5 years. I'm just saying, we're in the same solar system. But anyway, it can't be anything like that. It's just got to be us.
Across the globe, the two hottest years on record were 2016 and 2020. And every decade since the 1960s has been warmer than the previous decade. Experts say heat waves are getting worse due to climate change driven by human activity.
I know you're looking at me now and saying, okay, so you showed us 50 years. Our Earth is way older than this, and we've been way hotter than this. And that's true. However, those came with other signals and indicators like Earth's orbit or proximity to the sun. What we have right now, scientists say, the attribution to this rapid rise in temperatures, greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah, gotta be. Gotta be. Scientists say it, so shut up. That's what it is. So what have they decided to do? How do we deal with this heat? Well, we need to immediately transition to electric vehicles. We know that's the solution to all our problems. A Florida family who just a few months ago purchased a battery-powered vehicle learned an unforgettable lesson after their car suddenly stopped working. The parents of Avery Sawinski, a 17-year-old St. Petersburg, spent $11,000 on a used 2014 Ford Focus Electric that had 60,000 miles on it at the time it was bought. In March, it started giving an alert, Sawinski told the network, and then we took it to the shop and it stopped running. After taking the car to a local Ford dealership, the family learned that the mechanical issues were linked to the vehicle's battery, which apparently needed to be replaced. The repair bill for the battery was $14,000, said Sawinski's grandfather, who stepped in to help her with the car problems because her father passed away in June due to cancer. He also noted that the figure presented by mechanics wasn't even the total, as it didn't include labor cost. However, the family found out that all the hustle they went through was in vain, as there weren't any batteries of that type available anymore because this Ford model had been discontinued. There you go. Word of warning to those of you. the batteries are a bit of a point of a failure there. Let's see. We had a lot of social justice stuff going on this past week. Disney said it's ditching its fairy godmothers for more inclusive, gender-neutral titles at dress-up boutiques inside its theme parks, and some fans are less than enchanted with the news. Specifically, the Mouse House is getting rid of the fairy godmother title at its bibbidi-bobbidi boutiques. Employees who were formerly fairy godmothers... when they return, employees who were formerly called fairy godmothers in training will now be called fairy godmothers... apprentices. This way, cast members that might not identify as female can still be part of the process to dress up and style the children without having to refer to themselves as a female Disney character. Okay. As soon as ancient human remains are extracted, archaeologists begin the work of determining a number of traits about the individual, including age, race, and gender. But a new school of thought within archaeology is pushing scientists to think twice about assigning gender to ancient human remains. It is possible to determine whether a skeleton is from a biological male or female using objective observations based on the size and shape of the bones. Criminal forensic detectives, for example, do it frequently in their line of work. But gender activists argue scientists cannot know how an ancient individual identified themselves. So that's where we are on that. Here's a fun story here. How much time have I got left here? Yeah, I'm running short. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Armpit hair is back, whether you like it or not. Even trendy razor companies are backing off from the clean shave. How armpit hair resprouted from glossy ads to celebrity underarms and even the cover of Vogue. This is talking about women. For most of us guys, arm hair has always been in vogue, but apparently now the ladies are rejoining us there. Armpit hair is back. This is a Wall Street Journal headline. This one I thought was kind of funny. Kind of goes with my nutritional stuff, and I reported on this a couple of days, but another word of warning to you out there.
Well, next, a lawsuit that claims that Skittles are not safe to eat.
A California woman says the popular candy contains heightened levels of a color additive called titanium dioxide. The lawsuit claims the chemical compound is a known toxin that makes Skittles unfit for consumption, but the candy maker Mars says it complies with FDA regulations.
And that's the payoff line right there. Oh, look, the FDA and the CDC. The FDA lets us put this stuff in there, so it must be safe. Tune in every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock as I tell you why that just simply is not true. I'll leave a lot on the cutting room floor today, but there'll be more insanity next week. I'm sure I'll have plenty of material for the rest of the time I'm on the air. In the meantime, have a fantastic weekend. I will see everybody on Monday.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.